We're on Perek. I would like to again recap what we said last week, and once again learn the Perek beginning from Perek Nun Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and learning through Perek Nun Gimel. We mentioned last week, and we discussed at length, this is the main chapter that the missionaries use to prove that their Savior is foretold already in the Tanakh. It talks about the long-suffering servant that everyone thought was worthless, and it comes out that he really was what achieved atonement for mankind. And just to mention one or two salient points that we said last week, Hine Yaskil Avdi, it begins, Hine Yaskil Avdi, behold, my servant will succeed. Yorum, he'll be exalted. Venisa, and he'll become high. Vigova Ma'od, and he'll be exceedingly lofty. He'll be greater than anything that was before. And we mentioned from the Abarbanel, it seems to be that there would be a humble, lowly beginning, but in the end he'd be very successful. Of course, if they believe that their Savior was actually God in a human form, in a body, then the soul, God himself, is not going to be successful. He is what he is, and he's always omnipotent and all-knowing and perfect. He doesn't reach any later success. And of course, in terms of his body, what happened to him, he was killed. It wasn't, he certainly didn't achieve success in this world. So the body had no success, and the soul, if that is God, of course, doesn't achieve any later perfection. And in general, what does it mean, Avdi, my servant? Is it a servant who serves God, or is he God? There were many questions that we mentioned prove that it obviously cannot be referring to him. How would he be an achievement for mankind if he's God? God doesn't need to suffer on our behalf. If he wants to forgive us, he'll forgive us. He doesn't have to accept punishment. Now, we will discuss perhaps at the end, there is a concept that one person can accept the suffering for others. But that is one of a group. If the group deserves a punishment, mankind deserves something, there may be certain individuals who suffer on their behalf. But to say that it was God himself is just illogical. And we mentioned then at length many other proofs why the psukim cannot be referring to him. What's referred to as Oso Ha'ish, Yeshu, the one they believe in. Ibn Ezra says, actually, on Hine Yaskil Avdi, and he brings down, as I say, what is fascinating is, the missionaries is not a new problem and a new discussion, but it's been for hundreds of years, and Abarbanel lived in the 1400s, which we talked about last week. Ibn Ezra, who lived even before him, a few centuries earlier, also mentions, in his opening words, Zos ha-parsha kosha ma'od, is a difficult parsha to understand. Amru balik pelukteinu, those who argue with us have said, Shu remez le'lohehem, it's a hint to their God. And then he explains how that's not possible. The pasuk, he mentioned some of what the objections we've mentioned before. Yirezera yarech yomim, also the pasuk says he'll have children, he'll have a long life, he'll be successful, which of course didn't happen to their Messiah. Okay, we'll put aside the discussion about the missionaries. That was in last week, we discussed that. Now I would like to once again learn through the parshios, phrase by phrase, mostly with the Pirush of the Malbim. And just before we begin, I would mention, the Ibn Ezra brings down, that Vagon Rav Sadia Zal, Pirush Kol HaParsha Al Yirmiyah. he learns that this parsha actually is referring to a person. It's referring to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Now, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was the servant. The objections that we mentioned before do not apply to a person like Yirmiyah, because Yirmiyah was a person who suffered in his life, but there was a continuum. He can have children, things at the end. He was given a portion, but he suffered as the servant of Hashem, and he was one of the group. He was one of Klal Yisrael, and everybody felt that he was just foretelling destruction, and he was demoralizing the people. They locked him up, they threw him into a dungeon, and Yirmiyah suffered. But the truth is, he was right. He was a Navi, and the people who didn't accept his teachings were wrong. However, most Mefarshim learn, Rashi and the Radak and others, that the Parsha is referring to Klal Yisrael. Hine Yaskil Avdi, that Klal Yisrael, behold my servant, the Jewish nation, will succeed. Yorum, they'll be elevated, they'll be exalted. V'nisa, and they'll become high. V'gov amod, and exceedingly lofty. The Midrash says, Yorum, we find that expression, Yorum, by Avram Avinu. He said, Harimosi Yodi, I raise my hands to swear to God. Harimosi, I lift my hands, Yorum, Klal Yisrael, or Mashiach. This one pasuk, there are those who learn, is going on Mashiach, not the whole Parsha. But he'll become greater than Avram, greater than Moshe. Moshe brought a Geula, redeemed us from Mitzrayim. But when we're brought in from the four corners of the earth, it'll be a greater redemption than what Moshe accomplished. V'gova ma'od, and Mashiach himself will be greater than the Malachim. The Rambam says, of course, this is one of the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Novi. Lo kam Novi od b'Yisrael kamoshe. Nobody was as great as Moshe. Nobody will be as great as Moshe. Not even Mashiach. But he'll be greater than Moshe in the Geula, the redemption that he'll bring for Klal Yisrael. So hine yaskil avdi. Klal Yisrael, in the end, will be successful. Yorum, they'll be exalted. They'll be in a high place. And not only will they be above everything else, but v'nisa, they'll be elevated. We know where they're coming from. They're coming from the lowly status, from where they are in Golus, and they'll be lifted up. V'nisa, v'gova ma'od. V'gova means their height, the way they themselves are. You can have a tree that the tree is very high. It reaches the sky. And now that same tree can be situated on a mountain. So the Yorum v'nisa is where it's placed. It's high up. V'nisa, and it's been elevated from where it is. It goes even higher. The Gova and the Klal Yisrael themselves will be very great, and their Chochman and their knowledge, their Yiras Hashem, that will be the success of Klal Yisrael. We're in Pirek Nun Beis, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Kasher Shamamu Alecha Rabin, just as the multitudes were astonished over you, they couldn't believe Klal Yisrael in Golus was in such a low status. They couldn't believe Klal Yisrael is like even part of the human race. They're in wonderment. Kein mishchas meish mareyu. His appearance is too marred to be a person's. V'so'aro mibnei odom. And his visage doesn't even seem to be human. The toar is the form of a person. The outline, the contour of his face, that's the toar. You won't have the toar in Golus. It's as if Klal Yisrael doesn't have that form of a b'nei Adam, of the human race, of a person. Mar'eyu is the coloring, the complexion. That's mishchas me'ish mar'eyu. Ish sometimes doesn't even necessarily mean a human. It can mean one of a kind. Ish al achoisa, one to the other. The term ish, ish, isha, can just mean one of the group. But kemishchas me'ish mareyu, it doesn't have an appearance that's nice like anything else. So to Klal Yisrael was in the lowest state through Golos. But kein yaza goyim rabim, to the extent that they were, Klal Yisrael was so downtrodden, in the same manner, kein yaza, so too they'll now become so much elevated. Kein yaza goyim rabim, they'll be able to throw down all the nations, the power of the nations. All of yikpitzu malochim pihem. Normally the kings would defend their subjects, and they would help out the people. But over here, they'll be stunned. The fact that Klal Yisrael becomes so great, and the nations are thrown down and lose all of their power and influence, their kings will shut their mouth and won't know what to say. They'll be just amazed. Ki asher lo supar lahem ro'u. Because things that had never been told to them, they'll now see. Vasher lo shamu hisponanu. And matters that they had never heard, they'll now be able to perceive and they'll understand. They'll be thinking into things that they never imagined before. There are two types of things that are not possible. There are certain things that b'metzius, it just can't happen. And then there are other things that in machshava, you don't think it will happen. Meaning, you can't have a square circle. It's just by definition. You can't have certain things, just it's just not possible. Other ideas, just they don't seem to be realistic. It's not like a incongruous, it's not impossible, but nobody imagines it. Now, what's interesting is the Malbim lived in the late 1800s, and he writes the example in his words, Kamosha Yof Odom Lashamayim. Imagine a guy flying in the air. A guy flies to heavens. Who built the Yefshe B'Metzius? That's not possible. We all know nowadays in the 1800s, nobody can go flying in the sky. Nobody can go to the heavens. But he says that's not the type of thing that's impossible. It's just not. It's not within the realm of the way we understand things. It's not a contradiction in terms like you can't have a square circle. Certain things are just not possible. Certain things just don't seem to be realistic. We don't imagine them happening. The greatness of Klal Yisrael, the nations, first of all, don't dream that Hashem would do miracles of what we're going to see when the Geula comes. People don't imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do such miracles. And the success of Klal Yisrael, they never saw such a thing before. Ki asher lo supar lohem. Things that were never told over, it has never happened. Looking at the past, they never saw things like they will see. Asher lo supar lohem was never told over because it never happened. And now, ro, they're going to see. And then there are things that they didn't even think about. Vasher lo shamu. Like you'd say, people in there, they say, I don't hear it. It just, I don't hear it. Meaning, it's just beyond the possibility. Vasher lo shamu, things that they didn't even think are a possibility. Hisponanu, now they contemplated, and they realized that indeed, it's happening, and Hashem is doing this for Klal Yisrael. Perek Nun Gimel. Mihemin lishmu asenu. Who would believe what we've heard? One thing is the miracles, what Hashem is going to do. I never would have believed Hashem would have done such a thing. Could do such a thing. The Goyim will just be astounded. And besides the fact, Uzroa Hashem al mini glosa, for whom has the arm of Hashem been revealed? It's one thing that Hashem does miracles, but they would have expected the miracles for them. The miracles for the Jews? You mean for them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show His greatness. That's a double surprise. It was totally beyond their thoughts that for Klal Yisrael Hashem would do this. Vayal kayonik lefonov. Klal Yisrael is now being compared to a a tree, a young sapling. A tree can be very strong because it's been centuries old, and every year it gets its additional rings and it gets thicker and thicker, and the diameter is constantly expanding. Like you have the trees where the road goes straight through the trunk of the tree, you know, the large sequoias in California. You can have a road going right through the tree. The tree gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that a tree like that is very difficult to uproot. Sometimes you have a tree that's a younger sapling, but the roots went very, very deep, and it's so embedded and rooted in the ground, it's very difficult to pull it out. Vayal kayonik lefonov. But Klal Yisrael is like the tree that grew like a sapling. It's not a big, strong tree. It's a sapling. And it's a sapling v'chashoresh me'eretz tzia. And like a root from arid ground, where it's not in a fertile soil, in a luscious, well-irrigated plot of earth. It's an arid, dry land. V'chashoresh me'eretz tzia. So it's a sapling which is weak, and it's not deep in the ground. Klal Yisrael just seemed to have, on its own, was very weak, and for centuries it's been that way from they began in the desert. We were taken out of Mitzrayim and we began in the desert. And they look at the Jewish people like they're not strong or successful now, and they haven't been in the past. Lo so are lo. Sometimes you look at a tree and it's beautiful in the toar, in the form of it. You look at it and you notice how the branches, very often from the trunk, the branches all spread out from the trunk, and there's a certain symmetry, and it's beautiful the way the branches go up from the tree. But Klal Yisrael doesn't have this toar. They don't have this beautiful form. V'lo hadar. And they don't have the beauty. Sometimes you look at a beautiful piece of wood, whichever oak or whatever tree you prefer to work with, the olive wood. The wood itself can have a beauty to it, the color, but v'lo hadar, there's not that beauty to Klal Yisrael. This is referring to the way the Goyim looked at us in Golus. We don't have the men of the that are prominent businessmen and that are deep thinkers. Very often the Jews were shunned and were kept away from all types of positions of prestige and prominence. They weren't allowed to be educated, to go to the universities. They weren't allowed to hold positions in government in many countries, in many centuries. So we didn't see any beauty, any form. V'nireyu v'lo mare. And we saw him v'lo mare, but we didn't see any coloring, anything nice. Forget about the beauty of the form. There was like almost no mara at all. There was no appearance. V'nech medeyu. So how is it that we could desire Klal Yisrael and recognize their greatness? Nivza. Klal Yisrael was despised. They don't have the milus, the way the Goyim look at us in Golos. We don't have the beauty, we don't have the form, we're not the best of society. But on the contrary, Nivze, Klal Yisrael is despised. They looked at us intrinsically, the character, the morals, the virtues, the talents, the abilities. They looked at the Jewish people and they felt they're a lower form of, they're lower, they're despised, they're Nivze. They're not worthy to be within the on an equal standing with them. Nivze, Klal Yisrael is despised. Vachadal ishim, and isolated from men. Meaning, besides his qualities, sometimes a person is a chadal ishim. They look at his physical body, and they say he's not like others. He's not part of us. And sometimes a person can be lacking the qualities of the spirit and the qualities of his body, not his nefesh, not his goof, but at least he's healthy. he might be like a horse. They might call him like a donkey, but at least he could be a strong, healthy donkey. But Klal Yisrael wasn't even looked at like that. Ish machovos. Klal Yisrael was like a man of pains. Vidua choli, and accustomed to illness. He didn't have the qualities, the inner qualities, he didn't have the external qualities, and even like an animal, he wasn't robust, he wasn't healthy. Whatever he was suffering. A man of pains and accustomed to illness. Usually pains, very often, are inflicted by others. He's a healthy person, but something hurts him. Choli, an illness, is usually an internal problem. Person who has a fever is sick. A person who cut his finger, something hurts him. He's not a sick person. He has a problem very often. Ish machovos is a person of Klal Yisrael that's been hit and suffered and persecuted, and he's got all these pains that he's been bearing. Vidua choli, and internally, he himself is a sick person. This is the way they've used Klal Yisrael. And yet, very often a person suffers and he has a difficult time, and others have compassion. They feel bad for him. Uchemaster ponim imenu, but as one from whom we would hide our faces, Klal Yisrael suffered in Golus, and the nations of the world looked the other way. They don't look at us, they don't focus, they don't pay attention to the suffering of Klal Yisrael. And it's not like they look away because they can't stand it and they figure something has to be done, but they don't have the heart to see the suffering. But it's nivze. Klal Yisrael is despised. V'lo chashavnuhu. And we had no regard for him. When the goyim looked away is because they simply didn't care. So there were the pains that were inflicted. There was the suffering that Klal Yisrael went through. They viewed us as being, by ourselves, a lower form, a sick person. They looked away. V'lo chashavnu, they had no regard. We were nivza, we were despised. Ochein choloyenu hunasa. But indeed, he was pained because of our... Ochein choloyenu hunasa. It was our ills that he bore. Our sicknesses he bore. Umachovenu svolom. And our pains he carried. The nations of the world felt that we ourselves are, we internally, we're like sick. Meaning we don't, we're not fit to do what they are. We're not fit to have the positions. We're not fit to go to the universities and to be the intellectuals and to be the ones who lead the nations. Very often, Klal Yisrael was very, very limited what they were able to do. And they didn't allow them to have positions because we were sick and we're not able to be the leaders. We're not able to be the ones for everyone to look to for guidance. And now they'll realize that this sickness was not Klal Yisrael's. They created it. They didn't allow us to be the best of society and to be the ones who would guide the nation. It was all because of them. Achein choloyenu hunasa. The sickness wasn't that they're not fit to do it. It's because we didn't allow the Jews to do it. Umachovenu sivolam. And it's in terms of the external, the wounds and the injuries and the persecutions, very often they persecuted Klal Yisrael that we should accept their religion. We should serve what they serve. And we should give up our belief in Hashem. And they felt that we deserved it because of our sins of not accepting their religion. But machovenu sivolam, they didn't deserve these pains. When the Geula comes, they'll realize, Umachovenu Sivolam, it's our pains. We're the ones who caused it, and they were not, they didn't deserve it. It wasn't coming to them. Umachovenu, we're the ones who caused the pain. Vanachnu chashavnuhu. And we regarded him, Nagua, as somebody who's diseased, Muke Elohim, stricken by Hashem, Umeune, and afflicted. That's the way the Goyim looked at him. As if Klal Yisrael is diseased, Muke Elohim, struck by Hashem, as if God has made them sick. Umeune, and the persecutions, that's what Hashem wants them to have. They felt it was their religious purpose, and they were doing a good thing, and that's what Hashem wanted. And now they realize, V'hu mecholol mipsha'enu. Klal Yisrael was pained because of our rebellious sins. Meduka, he's been oppressed by me'avono senu, from our iniquities, from our wrongdoing. Mecholol apesha is somebody who rebels, somebody who acts in a wanton manner, in a wicked way. That's pesha, he rebels. An avon is a person in his thought, he believes in something wrong. He believes that he should do whatever he does, but it's a wrong thought process. What happened here was the goyim will realize, the sickness of Klal Yisrael was mipsha'enu. It was our pesha and our wrongdoing that caused it. Umeduka, and the fact that they're crushed, that we've made them suffer, it was all me'avono senu. It was because of our wrong beliefs. In other words, we believe that we should make the Jews suffer. That's the meduka. We oppress them, me'avono senu, because of our wrong beliefs. And mecholol, the fact that Klal Yisrael has always been treated as sick and as undeserving and unworthy, that was our pesha. That was our guilt and our wrongdoing. Musar shlomenu olav. We believed Musar, the chastisement upon him, was for our benefit. When things were good for the nations of the world, there was shalom, there was peace. They believed that the peace will continue if they oppress the Jews. They'll oppress the Jews and things will be good for them. Musar shlomenu olav. For our peace, we made them suffer. Uvachavuroso nir polonu. And when the goyim suffered, they didn't say, well, we suffered because we're oppressing the Jews. They felt, we suffered because we didn't do enough to get them to convert and to accept our religion. We haven't been religious enough in their beliefs. Uvachavuroso, somehow by injuring, by wounding Klal Yisrael near Polonu, they'll be healed. When it was good, they made the Jews suffer. And it was bad for them, they certainly made the Jews suffer. Kulonu katzon toinu. But now they acknowledge, we've all strayed like sheep. We followed the leaders, the beliefs that we should make the Jews suffer. That was the meduka, the oppression, because of our ovon, our thought. In this manner, we were all like the sheep. We're all following the leader. We're all conducting ourselves this manner. Ish ledarko paninu. Each one of us went to turn his own way. That's paralleling what he said, mecholol mipsha'enu. That even when it wasn't what everyone did for the religion, but each one on his own, for his own benefit, for his own hanah, that was his pesha. He, for his own personal benefit, he sinned and he hurt the Jews. Ish ledarko paninu. And each one of us individually. Vashem hifkia bo. And Hashem has afflicted upon him the suffering that happened to Klal Yisrael, Esavon Kulanu. That's the guilt of all of us. Nigas, he was persecuted. Vahunane, and he was afflicted. He was persecuted that his wealth was taken, and he was afflicted bodily. Velo yiftach piv. And whatever happened, Klal Yisrael didn't open his mouth within the long suffering. Kasel latevach yuvol. They've been physically harmed and killed like the sheep taken to the slaughter. And they've lost their wealth and their possessions. Ucharochel ifnego zezeho ne'loma. And like the ewe, the mother sheep, that's silent before the shearers, those that are cutting off the wool. And they've lost everything that warms them. They've lost whatever they had. V'lo yiftach piv. And Klal Yisrael takes it all and doesn't open his mouth. And don't think that what the Klal Yisrael's suffering was, just the people felt that way. But it was officially sanctioned. Me'otzer. There was the ruler the question was brought to the ruler, to the government, how to treat the Jews. Me'otzer, straight from the position of authority, umi mishpat, and after due process of law, from justice, it was paskened and decided that the Jews deserve the punishment. It was officially sanctioned. Me'otzer mi mishpat lukach. He was taken from captivity, or the way the Malbim understands it, Otzer is the ruler. The ruler, and from justice, it was decided to take Klal Yisrael. Vestoro mi yisocheach. And what happened to his generation, of those in his generation, mi yisocheach, they would not be able to even tell over. In a moment, we'll see what they can't tell over. But kinizam eretz chayim, when you realize that Klal Yisrael was cut off from the land of the living, mi pesha ami, because of the guilt, the sins of my people, of the goyim, when the goyim realized what they did to the Jews, nobody would even be able to tell over negalomo of what the Jew did wrong. What was the sin of Klal Yisrael? Why were they treated like that? Why did the non-Jews do that? And they, mi socheach, nobody would be able to tell over the results of nigzar mi'eretz chayim mi'pesha ami, that Klal Yisrael was killed. Nobody could say over negalomo what Klal Yisrael's guilt was. Vayitein es rishoyim kivro. The rulers would give over that es rishoyim with the wicked kivro. The Jews should be buried. They should be buried as a common criminal. Ves Oshir the Mosov. And the even those that may have been wealthy, the more prominent ones, but the Jews, they were all treated in their death as the common criminal. Ves Oshir the Mosov. In their death, they were treated as the worst people. Alo Chomos Osa. And this was all, though Klal Yisrael did no wrong. There was no chomos, there was no robbery, no crime. V'lo mirmo b'fiv. And there was no deceit in his mouth. Klal Yisrael, with all the suffering, wouldn't turn against Hashem and give up the religion. They would rather give over their life and die al kiddush Hashem. There was no crime and there was no deceit. V'Hashem chofetz. But Hashem wanted Dako, that is to oppress him. Hecheli. And Hecheli, the way the Malbim understands, as a result there would be an appeasement. Vayachal Moshe is to plead. Hecheli, Vayachal, the term Hashem Chofetz Dako, Hashem wanted to crush, to oppress Klal Yisrael. Hecheli. But that would bring about an appeasement. Intosim Osham Navsho. And you, even if you placed his soul, Osham, as guilty, and you decided that Klal Yisrael should be killed and persecuted, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his reasons. That very often a generation went through a Shas HaShmad, they went through the most torture, the most difficult situations. And Hashem knew that somehow, Vashem Chofetz Dako Hecheli, through this oppression, Hecheli would bring about a favor for future generations, a goodness that the later generations would gain from. Even though the goyim decided we were guilty and gave us whatever punishments. Yirezera, but the offspring of Klal Yisrael, he would see an offspring, Yarich Yomim, and the later generations would have long life. V'chepetz Hashem b'yodo yitzlach, and the desire of Hashem would succeed in his hands through in that later generation. Last week in the previous year, we did explain the pasuk differently. Right now, I'm following the approach of the Malbim, basically. May amal nafsho. But even the person who gave up his life al kiddush Hashem, it was not only that later generations would benefit, but may amal nafsho, from the toil of his soul, yireh, he would see yispah, and he'd be satisfied. He would feel a certain type of menucha, a certain type of tranquility, with all of his suffering. Bedaito, because he's aware of, he knows, yatzdik tzadik avdi, that my tzadik avdi, my righteous servant, yatzdik, would bring merit, l'rabim, to the multitudes. He knew when he went al kiddush Hashem, it was his personal sacrifice, but Klal Yisrael would learn the lesson, Klal Yisrael would gain. Va'avono samhu yisbol, and their sins, hu yisbol, he tolerates, and he knows that his death will be a kapara for whatever sins of the generation. Lochein, therefore, achalik lo v'rabim, I will assign him a portion, barabim, among the multitudes, that many people have their portion in Gan Eden, but the one who is willing to take the suffering and go al kiddush Hashem, achalik lo barabim, he'll get a portion equal to the multitudes. Ve'satzumim yichalik sholol, and with the mighty he'll divide the spoils. The mighty could be the avos, the greatest Nevi'im, but somebody who gave his life al kiddush Hashem is among the mighty. Tachas asher hera lamovis nafsho, in return for having poured out his soul for death. Ves poshim nimna, and he was willing to be counted among the wicked. Vahu chet rabim nasa, but the truth is, he bore the sin of the multitudes. V'lachotim, v'laposhim yafkiya. And for the poshim, for the wicked, yafkiya, he prayed, he brought about a zechus, even for the poshim, through his death, he brought about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu found a favor that even the poshim were inspired to do tshuva, when they saw his dedication and his sacrifice for Hashem. That's the way most Meforshim learn, that it's a general nevuah referring to Klal Yisrael. And as we've mentioned, before this, the pasuk right before in Perek Nun Beis was talking about Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Manovu alaharim raglei mevaser, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the one bringing the good news of the redemption. And it said, Kilo b'chi pozon teitzeyu, you won't leave golus in chaos, you won't be fleeing, Hashem will go before you. Before this, in Perek Nun Beis, it was talking about Klal Yisrael being redeemed. And in Perek Nun Dalid, again, it's talking about Klal Yisrael. We'll talk about Roni Akara Lo Yolada next week. But it's in the context of referring to Klal Yisrael and the Geula coming, and this is the way the nations of the world will react at the Geula of Klal Yisrael. The truth is, there are many different things to focus on in the Perek. But one point that I think needs an explanation, which is really a shiur in and of itself, which we're not going to go into, but I would like to touch on this matter. I know when I first looking at the Perek, to me it seemed shocking. Like, I wasn't even aware that it's a Jewish concept. Somehow we grow up and you believe it's a Christian, chas v'shalom, a Christian belief, but it's definitely a Jewish idea that one person could be suffering and could bring an atonement for another. This pasuk, this perek, is not talking about their Messiah, as we said, for many reasons. But the reason is not that one can't suffer for another. To mention a few sources, the Gemara says in Baba Metzia, on Daf Pehei, the Gemara has a discussion how Rabbeinu HaKadosh suffered, how Rav Shimon suffered, different Yisurim that they had. And the Gemara says as follows, Kulu Shanei Yisurei de Rav Elazar, all the years of the suffering of Rav Elazar, Lo Shachiv Inish Belo Zimnei, the years that Rav Elazar went through his Yisurim, nobody died premature. Kulu Shanei Yisurei de Rebbe, all the years that Rebbe suffered, Lo Itzarech Alma Lemitra, the world didn't need rain. Somehow when they suffered, everyone else had it well. The Michtav Me'eliyo in the Rav Dessler in the fourth Chelek, I believe, says a concept. I'm going to say what I'm saying is similar based on what he writes, and I think his point is as follows: when things go well in the world, people forget about Hashem. They figure it's their success, their wisdom, their planning, their insight, their forethought. They're the ones who brought about the success. And even if the success has nothing to do with them, they still believe it's their doing. You know, some years there's a lot of natural catastrophes, there's a lot of storms, but some years it's good. So when the years go good and things are going well, they say, well, the nature is, of course, there are good years, but it's our intelligence who know how to maximize and how to, if it's good, we get the credit for it. When things go wrong, people all of a sudden realize that they don't take the blame for it. They don't say it's bad because of us. They say, oh, Hashem is the one who caused it. Even as say the insurance company's disclaimer, it's an act of God. So you know, when things are going well, they don't say it's an act of God. They say, you know, that's nature. When all of a sudden the nature comes and there's a tremendous calamity and a catastrophe, that's already they realize that it's not the way they planned, because they never would have planned like this, and it's not their shortcoming. There's something beyond their control. If it went bad, it's not because of them. It's out of their control. It's the act of God. So whenever there's a punishment, people all of a sudden become aware that it's obviously not them, it's not people, it's Hashem doing it. And if there's an Hashem, there's a reason why it's happening. And sometimes, if the wicked get punished, so people realize Hashem notices and Hashem sees, and the wicked got their punishment. And yet people don't feel that they need to change, because they're not wicked. This is my understanding. Everybody looks at it and he says, you know, I'm a good person. Say, he suffered, but I don't have to change. I don't have to, because I'm a good person and Hashem is punishing the wicked, but that's not my problem. I'm not in that category. If all of a sudden a tzaddik suffers, then people look at it and they say, you know, Hashem obviously knew what was going on and he's bringing a punishment. This is not a natural thing. This is obviously being done by God. And even the good, when we look at him, we see he's a good person. We can't imagine why he should suffer. It shows us that the truth is we don't know, but God seems to be very, very exacting. And for some reason, he's bringing punishments even if you're good. And therefore, if we're bad, we're really in for trouble. Because God's doing something and even the good are suffering. And then they feel that they have to change. And that brings a Kiddush Hashem. When there's wrong being done in the world, there's a necessity. If everyone would be doing good, so you don't need to have any punishment. Everyone's serving Hashem and using the opportunities they're afforded to the maximum in their service of Hashem. When they're not serving Hashem, that's Echil Hashem. People are doing what they want. They don't care. They don't think about Hashem. The world is existing with Echil Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to create a Kiddush Hashem, people should be aware of Him. And there could be a punishment, so that people should be aware of Hashem. Sometimes there could be a tzaddik, and he's willing to accept the punishment of the people, and when he suffers, it's such a Kiddush Hashem that as good as we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects more. And as we've said many times, if a person takes that, is willing to live by that standard, his Olam Haba and his reward is beyond, much, much beyond everyone else. There's a special reward for the one who's willing to accept that goal, that suffering and that purpose. But when the tzaddik or someone accepts Yisurim, that can accomplish the Kiddush Hashem, that people are aware of Hashem, people are aware that they have to do even better, and that can be an atonement for the masses. When Mashiach comes, and the final Geula comes, the nations of the world will turn around and say, Klal Yisrael was the ones who showed that there is a God in the world. That they did, they were so perfect, and they lived their whole life, and their whole existence was for Hashem, and at the same time they were persecuted, and they suffered, and they took it willingly, and they weren't going to give up their religion, and they were Moser Nefesh. That's perhaps a little bit of an understanding of the idea of Yisurim, of Klal Yisrael suffering for the benefit of the world, or how a tzaddik can suffer on behalf of others. Have a good week.